Good morning, Gloucester. It is Friday. It's payday down the dock. I'm here with Mrs. Effervescent, Kim Smith.
Good morning, Gloucester.
Happy that I call you Mrs. Effervescent, aren't you?
I am, really.
And we're also joined by a first-time guest on the podcast, Carol Thistle. And Carol, what is your official capacity with the City of Gloucester?
I'm in the Community Development Department and Senior Project Manager, but really focusing on tourism.
Mm. And I looked at your LinkedIn. I did a little. I creeped on you.
Oh.
I did some creeping. I creeped on your LinkedIn profile.
Yeah.
You know, that could be, you know, that term is like I was checking you out on LinkedIn. But what was interesting to me was your Director of Marketing, New England Zoo, which is the Franklin Park Zoo and the Stone Zoo.
That's right.
And it's cool because like 3 or 4 years ago, we went to the Stone Zoo for the Christmas thing that they had with all the lights.
The zoo lights.
And for children.
Wow.
It was an awesome, we went there a couple times that year, and it was like 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, and it was really outstanding. I had never been to the Stone Zoo until then, and I was reading that you increased their social media presence to a record high in 2012. You negotiated media sponsorships, generating over $300,000 in added media placements, including Fenway Park's Green Monster, the digital billboard, Clear Outdoor Channel, Massachusetts Bay MBTA, XL Magazine, CBS Radio, and Boston.com. Those are all heavy hitters.
Yeah.
So we got a big time. See, this is what I'm saying. We talk about Community Development Department. We're huge fans of Community Development in the City of Gloucester because all the news that we get out of Community Development in the past, like whatever, 6 months, a year, whatever, has always been like this. Like it's like they've brought in these people from out of town that have much broader vision than maybe we had in the past.
Yeah.
That like is looking at more big picture. Not just trying to like expand horizons instead of like being an introverted city, like, hey, here we are, and going after big picture ideas. Would you agree? I mean, Sal DiStefano, how awesome is he?
Yeah, he's
do you
fantastic.
Work with him on anything, or is that totally different? You have two jobs.
Yes, I had an opportunity to work with him on the Seafood Expo show, which was great.
Oh,
yeah.
Really fantastic.
Yeah.
And we brought all these international delegates here and businessmen, and
that was just a phenomenal.
We noted it. Yeah, we noted it on the book because I had gone to the seafood. I went to the seafood show growing up, like every year, and we'd see there'd be long whole sections devoted to New Bedford. Like, you know, they took up a whole thing. And Gloucester, like, would have either a little booth, but there was not really much this year. Like the displays, the fish, and the cooking demonstrations with Safat, our mayor, and everything else. I mean, it really just took it to the whole new level. And then they had the fam trips. They brought in these buyers from these international buyers, and they brought them all over Gloucester to see all these opportunities. They just like it was like they took it like five steps beyond whatever we had done in the past, which is really exciting.
It really was, and everybody that came here, all the businessmen, were so impressed, and they were really impressed with the friendliness of the people and the professionalism, and it really was a win-win. And Tom Daniel is the community development director too, and he's just done an incredible job with bringing more money back to the city with all the grants.
That's huge.
Yeah,
grant writing is like,
who brought Tom Daniel here? Was it Carolyn Kirk?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, another great hire by Carolyn Kirk.
Yes.
She had great hires. I mean, we talk about Len Campanello,
our chief
of police, and the thing he's doing with the opiate program and everything, like revolutionary, getting national recognition.
National recognition.
Right? I mean,
fantastic.
Great hires. And I think she brought in Sal.
Yes.
She was responsible for Sal, another great guy. And Tom. And these are just going right down the line. But anyway, I don't know how
we're
much.
Big fans.
We're a huge fan of community development. Anyway, and your department is doing great things. I talked to Tom Daniel. I don't know if he had a chance to talk to you. I called him a couple days ago because we have this community, this arts calendar that we just developed. And James Eves is really, he's one of our contributors.
Oh, yeah.
And so I asked Tom, I'm like, Tom, you know, we have this, the top of the blog is probably the most visible web presence in all of Gloucester. And it's the top slot. We have this calendar stickied right there. I said, Tom, I says, you know, do you think you want to have, you know, all this good news is coming out. I get all these press releases from you guys. It's like weekly. There's something
daily,
awesome
right.
going on.
Right.
Would you like to, like, have direct input to, like, announce your meetings or whatever else is going on? And he was all excited about it. He said, but you, he said, you generally do the inputting on the city's calendar. Is that right?
Yes, and we definitely would love to be involved. That's well, so great.
Well, I think this is the thing. The right. thing is, I don't think you have to do anything more than what you're already doing because we the City of Gloucester's website uses iCal format.
Okay.
So we can all you have to do is just make sure you update that because we're already pulling it in.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. We have the tourism. We have, like, there's five different of the message boards from the city website that we just pulled into our calendar.
Oh, okay.
They're extra layers that display automatically. So just be aware that it's not just your work is not languishing on a calendar that no one sees. It's actually front and center.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So you have direct access.
So it's there right now. I haven't looked at the calendar in a day or two. So it's there now. You
it's totally there,
there
right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow,
it's
that's
right
exciting.
There. I mean, James is doing a great job with the calendar.
Oh, yeah. I think people are loving that.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
So yesterday, Kim actually took a nice photo of you the other day at the joint Harbor Town, was it spring meeting?
Spring meeting.
That Tom Daniel put together and everything?
And Rocky Neck.
And Rocky, right.
The two cultural districts together.
Well, how did I say it wrong? Oh, I just said Harbor Town?
You just said Harbor Town.
Because Harbor Town and Rocky Neck. It was the joint
right.
of the two of them.
Because there's four altogether on Cape Ann, right?
Right.
So there's Harbor Town, Rocky Neck, and one of the other two.
Is there a Lanesville one?
There's Essex.
Oh, okay. And then, is there a Rockport one?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Oh, so there you go. There's
okay.
your four.
So two in Gloucester, one the Essex one, and the Rockport one. Okay.
Right.
So this is the joint one, and but the announcement that really caught my attention was, I'll just read it here from what Kim wrote, is fully 1/3 of revenue collected from the hotel and restaurant tax will go towards promoting tourism. You broke this news at the joint spring cultural meeting of Gloucester's Harbor Town and Rocky Neck Cultural Districts held Tuesday night at the North Shore Art Association. Now, how is this different? Because they've collected, and I've heard in the past that the money was supposed to go towards promoting tourism, but I had always heard whispers that it wasn't actually going towards promoting tourism, or it wasn't a specific formula, or it was more arbitrary. Can you explain to me how this announcement is relevant?
It's really making history for Gloucester. It's such a huge difference in the because it's earmarking a specific budget item, and all the tourism folks are contributing to the hotel motel tax and for overnight visitation, and this way 30% of that figure will go towards funding it. Now, prior to this, $50,000 has been going to the Tourism Commission, and the city has supported in a lot of ways. But this administration is really right on target and really supportive, including the mayor is very, very supportive. In fact, she was there last night at the Welcome Center opening at Stageford Park, and she spent the whole night there, evening.
Yeah, that's tremendous.
You know what's really cool about this? Like, if 5 or 10 years ago, right, you would have thought about Safathia, huge supporter of Fishermen's Wives.
Right. She's been vice president for 20 years.
Vice president for however many years, you say 20.
20, I think.
But, like, huge supporter of fisheries, right? 10 years ago, fisheries people, like, tourism was a dirty word. So when her being mayor, you didn't know exactly how it was going to go. You know, is she going to be supportive of the arts, or is, you know, but there's been a huge swing. The city council, everybody, I think now, with a huge decline in the fishing industry, has recognized the importance of tourism in our community. And it's really nice when you see Safathia getting, you know, someone that was completely on board all fisheries all the time way back when, like, all in tourism and supportive.
Absolutely.
And not adversarial, you know what I mean? Because in the past, a lot of these people were adversarial to the tourism industry.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that has to make, as you being like tourism director or whatever, how is it exactly?
senior project manager.
Right. You have to feel good that they have your back. Right. Instead of, you're not fighting an uphill battle, in other words.
Right. She's very supportive. Yeah. And this all ties into this whole 5-year plan that we've done. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
I'm not. I mean, I could.
Can you tell us the highlights of that?
Yeah. The city passed an ordinance to study all of tourism in Gloucester, and we hired a consultant, Chris Pappas, from Open the Door. Not our Open the Door, but Open the Door.
Open the Door, not Open the Door. Yeah.
Open the Door. And she interviewed a lot of the key stakeholders in the city, and she did a study, and she recommended that all the wonderful things that are happening in Gloucester be put under one tourism organization. Mm. And we met with different community groups, and the Tourism Commission was really supportive of that. There's so much great work that's been done, and it's basically putting it into a public-private organization that'll be funded by, still be funded by advertising, grants, but also what was needed. One of her recommendations was more money from the city to support tourism. So that's what's happening, basically.
Yeah. So now with this, the third of the revenue coming in, mm-hmm. how, like there's already all these organizations, there's the Chamber, there's Discover Gloucester, there's all these different organizations all pushing in the good directions, you know, positive directions.
How do you figure out
or is the money earmarked for new initiatives, or is it just to support what's already happening?
Well, you know, that's a great question because, well, basically what's happening right now is that we formed a transition committee. You know, before this new organization can be formed, Lynn Parisi with Discover Gloucester is on it, Tobin Dominic, who's the president of Discover Gloucester, the Chamber. We have representatives from the art community, and also from the Tourism Commission. And we're working out all the different things for the new organization. Mm-hmm. And one of the objectives is to really, all the good work that's been done is to just keep it going. Mm-hmm. You know, that's number one, keep it going. Mm-hmm. And the other part of it is also to explore new marketing initiatives and marketing strategies. And we've actually put together, we've been meeting, in order to put the new organization together, we've met and collaborated this transition committee. They've worked really, really hard. And we have new bylaws, we have a new mission statement. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the legal process will take probably about 6 months or longer.
Mm-hmm. So are they going to be under one roof, or is still going to be a segment that is they are? Because that seems like the I know the behind the scenes. You know, I was board of directors of the Chambers, and I know there's always this jockeying between different factions, and like, oh, you know, we deserve the money. I know that that's probably one of your big challenges to sort through all that. That's gonna be a challenge. Yeah.
Right. And but it is working. Everybody. Everybody believes that, you know, and they're thrilled with getting this commitment from the city and having more money, so we can do more things. And Lynn Parisi in particular has done an incredible job. Mm. In fact, last night she was awarded a first-time Tourism Ambassador of the Year, from starting an annual award for all her work with Discover Gloucester.
Oh, how interesting.
And she's just worked tirelessly, you know, developing the official visitor guide and doing fam trips and going on trade shows. Mm. So
now, does she represent everyone, or does she represent the people that are part of Discover Gloucester? Because I see, isn't she beholden to the people that are part of her organization? If you're not, now how does that translate?
And there's, besides Discover Gloucester, PR Gloucester has also done a lot of great work too. They've mainly concentrated on the media relations, and they were, that was Tracy Mueller, Jen Borgennaro,
Oh, Jan Bodnar, yeah.
Yeah,
they were great. They put a lot of money together. And I'm going to just interject. A couple years ago, we had John McElhenney, was a PR guy. He worked, at the time, he worked for Matter Communication. Now he works for Ink House. But when he was hired by that group, the PR Gloucester people, and as, you know, from the blog, we get, you know, press releases and stuff, and we get asked to help out when there's certain, like, interesting stuff going on. Oh, can you grab some pictures of this, because I know I can pitch this story to the New York Times, and I have a really good feeling that this is going to get picked up. Mm-hmm. Now, when John McElhenney was there, he was placing where I'm going to go with this, and then I'll tell you the rest of the story. Where I'm going to go with this is, he had, I feel like a lot of people around here already know how awesome Gloucester is.
Yes.
And I feel like the most important and the biggest impact we can make is with people from outside of our area, right, and getting placement in, like the, what John McElhenney was doing and those type of people did, was not trying to think so hyper-local, right, thinking, you know, about, right, about the getting placement in the JetBlue magazine, right. New York Times. It was like, right, the list was Ocean Home magazine. Really? It was every week. He's like, Joe, can you get me this picture? Yeah, no problem. Here, you know, take whatever you need.
Right.
Get this access. And and I thought the PR initiatives with effective people.
Yeah, that
people,
is really.
I don't know. It just seemed to me like we were on a national stage with that kind of a broad focus rather than an introverted focus. I'm like, I love this. I love, like, you see what I mean? Where I'm going?
Right.
Carolyn Kirk, when she hired for the police department, she hired Len Campanello, the best person she felt for the job. He didn't necessarily have to be born in Gloucester, Massachusetts to get the job. She tried to get the best person for the job. Like, what I hope is that we are, you know, our initiatives aren't always just looking, how can we market to ourselves? Because we already know how awesome this place is. How can we
get the,
you know, broadcast this to people that are likely to come here once they find out about us?
Absolutely. And what you're saying is so true. It's others on the outside looking at us. And we, like you said, people in Gloucester, we already know how great a destination this is. It's fantastic.
Yeah,
there's just so much, and it's getting that national and international publicity, which will be all part of the new organization. So it isn't just going to be advertising, and it's going to be PR. It's strategic marketing.
Mm.
And the objective really is to increase overnight visitation. So the money from the city, although it's earmarked for the hotel motel tax and will be permanent, but the new organization is going to be charged with increasing visitation, increasing day trippers and overnight people, and they'll be measured on that. So
wow. Let's
see.
So it's accountability.
It's accountability.
I love that. That's fantastic. Well, we also have more assets. We, you know, when Beauport Hotel is built, she's going to have this facility that's going to be able, you're going to be able to get these corporate events here. Like, you know,
it's going to be phenomenal.
I know people in corporate, you know, in the corporate world, and there's very few offices where there's 200 employees that report to the same office anymore. Now these businesses, they work on laptops from their home, and once a month or once a quarter, whatever, you have a sales team, 200 come in, boom, they're there for the weekend or week, and they're just like dollar bills, y'all, going like this all through the main street. So we have these assets now.
Absolutely.
And it to be even more of than a seasonal destination, business world doesn't stop. You know, you got a 12-month season, you know, and just exciting.
Exactly. And that's one of the things the organization's going to be, the new, is trying to build up on the shoulder seasons, the spring and the fall, and just really capitalizing on all the unbelievable events that already exist in Gloucester, and that people are trying to do their own publicity, but this organization can help them do publicity in the region.
Mm.
And so it's all really, you know, it's just so exciting.
Now, when you were with the zoos, You increase their social media thing. What role do you think social media has?
Oh, huge.
Right?
Huge.
Can absolutely. You understate it? I mean, I don't know. Like, I mean, because so much of it is low cost or no cost.
Right.
Like, to me, like, there are, I have a lot of friends. We sell to most restaurants in this town, buy their lobsters from Captain Joe and Sons, right? So, I'm dealing with chefs and owners, chef owners, all the time, and a lot of them, they don't use Facebook, and they don't, and I beg and plead with them. I'm like, I see your iPhone in your hand. You take a picture, you put the title, you know, chicken piccata today, $9.99. Boom, it's there, and all your fans that already love you is then there are likely to it's gonna come back to you at least 20-fold. Like, right. It's 15 seconds of your day.
Right.
And, like, when they say, I'm too busy, I'm like, that's crock of garbage. You have to take advantage of these things. So, I'm glad to see. So, what type of, are there any initiatives for, like, bringing all these branches together under that kind of thing?
Oh, absolutely. And also one website. You know, everybody's been doing such good work, but it's pulling it all together. Mm-hmm. So it is going to take some time to get all of that. But definitely social media, media relations, advertising, trade shows, visitor guides, promotions, mm-hmm. All of those things are just so important. And it's also communicating with everyone in the community so that people know, oh, this is an opportunity that I can take advantage of, mm-hmm. instead of
the main obstacle to overcome that fragmented thing and try to pull people together and work together.
Ask a question? Does Discover, for example, does Discover Gloucester have like a brick and mortar place, or is that all? So
I don't know that she has a brick and mortar place.
So how would you get everybody together, like under one roof, like the Chamber and Discover Gloucester?
Oh, they have means, you know, like Sherry Cruiseport.
Right.
Like,
oh,
she
okay.
offers her place up all the time. Lenny from Gloucester, okay. he offers up his place all the time.
Okay.
And one thing I forgot to mention, the nice thing also is that the city, in addition to the funding, has also offered to provide complimentary office space, free office space.
Oh, wow.
And that's huge. So computers, telephone, which normally would, you know, be a huge expense. So, a lot of it is modeled after Destination Salem. I don't know if you're familiar.
About I don't know, it was about 10 years ago, Salem like exploded onto the scene. I think, I don't know if it was Kim Driscoll was behind that or if it was someone before her, but like they put some kind of huge marketing. You were seeing billboards all over the place. Destination set. Like, I was like, "Whoa! What? When did this happen?" And like Gloucester and Salem, both I kind of feel like have followed a path from like that kind of really not as cool town as to this like, "Whoa! We got to get to Gloucester town." And Salem, very similar.
Right. And then when you look at Beverly, which is like sandwiched in between, I don't hear anything from them. You know what I mean? Like, in a way. So
it's shocking to me.
Right.
Like, it's shocking to me because they got great restaurants, but they don't seem to have you would think that they could get something going, but they're not too far off the highway.
Right. We're further down the line.
I mean, we have the beaches and we have the boating more. You know, they don't have as many assets as we do, probably.
Right.
I don't know, but they have great restaurants. But someone's dropping the ball there.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, throwing them under the bus. Whoever's in charge there just got totally. We just in the bus in reverse, backed over them, full forward, back and forth. Yeah.
No.
Sorry about that, Chamber of Commerce, Beverly.
But I know what you mean about Salem, and I had an opportunity to work there, doing their tourism, and it isn't built overnight.
But who's behind that? Who was the person that you would say recognized that, okay, we got to put more money towards this budget, towards like promoting tourism as a destination?
It definitely was Mayor Driscoll.
That's what I thought.
And she originally gave $45,000 to forming the organization and also free office space. Mm. And she said, if you're able to increase overnight visitation, then I will get in. She committed to 25% of the hotel motel tax.
Ah, there you go. Wow. See, there you go. There's accountability. Right. Like, and a direct return. Right. Like, you know, and here we go. Let's do the right thing. Make sure we spend the money the right way to get the biggest return, because the more return we get, the more money goes back to you.
Right.
Absolutely. Everybody wins. The city wins. Yeah. The tourism
awesome.
Folks win. And the incentive is right there. Hey, we want to increase it because we want more money to go to PR and advertising.
Right.
Mm.
So, and
it's a win-win. Right.
It really is. Yeah. And right now, Salem is up to, I think it's 50% of the hotel motel.
Because they saw what kind of benefit it provided.
That was, that's been like 7 years in the making. But, they went from 45,000 to 25% to 50%.
So would you say
they're working hard on?
Would you say that the Gloucester you took a lot of that stuff and you're implementing a lot of that stuff? Is that where it's coming from, or is this different ideas? Or
well, the consultant, what the consultant did for Open the Door, she looked at all different. There's all different models out there, and each community has something different. Sometimes tourism is done by the chamber. Mm. And it works for that particular community. Mm. But after interviewing everybody, and she just felt that it was a great model for us, Destination Salem.
Yeah.
Or a similar, and there's other ones like that. And also the organization needs to raise money on their own too. So it's still getting those advertising dollars. It isn't just the city. It's a percentage is coming from the private entity. It might be looking at, and it's also leveraging those opportunities. So, for instance, if, say, there's four big advertisers in Gloucester that are going to the same magazine, but it's not all coordinated.
Mm.
Talk to the magazine, see if we can get a better deal.
Mm.
Maybe add some more people in at a lower cost, and why not have a story on Gloucester in the magazine if we're doing all this advertising?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's all that.
Those are the things that John McElhaney was good at, getting those stories placed. And those stories are like, four-page spreads and the like a million pictures. You couldn't pay for that kind of advertising. The stuff that he would get placed in the places he was getting placed was like 100, an ad this big compared to a four-page spread, with this writer that came in, and they took care of them. They gave them all the restaurants they let them eat for free. They stayed at the Atlantis, and they walked away, especially when you don't have to pay for anything. In your mind, you're like, this is the greatest thing ever. You're not thinking about your budget. And then they come walk away like, I'd like to be invited back maybe 5 or 6 years for another round of this. Right. So I'm going to make sure I'm going to give my nice plug here.
Absolutely.
And, they work. It works. Mm-hmm. Food.
Yeah.
Especially
around here.
Right? Yeah, right.
We have so much beautiful food to offer, seafood especially to offer.
Everything, yeah.
And the scenery, and everybody's so friendly here. It's really...
We say it all the time. You can take off 10 bucks. You can take off... We have the beaches, we have the boating, we have the restaurants, we have the music scene, we have the art scene, we have a cool downtown, we have the coffee house culture.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's just the list. You can't put...
Nature.
Like, outside of this Boston, which is a huge city, but I would argue that they don't have the beaches we have.
Right.
There's nobody... No place that has... Salem doesn't have the beaches that we have.
No.
So we're so unique in having all this, and without the traffic of Cape Cod...
Right.
And Cape Cod doesn't have, the scene that we have and stuff like that. So, I mean, we're so unique and so cool. And I mean, you got to feel pretty good about working for a place where it's layup, right? Really tough to pitch Gloucester. I don't know how you're going to do it. Carol, I don't know. Really? Oh, God. You must go to bang your head against the table every day and say, I don't know how I'm going to push this mess of a place. Right?
Yeah, that's funny. But I appreciate it so much. I've worked in Boston. I worked for a long time in New Orleans. Mm. And a little bit in St. Louis and New York. and yet I'm from here, and you know, it's working in those other cities and then coming back here and then
and
just realizing realizing what a incredible, what a unique destination it is. And in a lot of ways it's like New Orleans and in the sense of
funkiness.
It's the people have so much pride here about they love to live here.
Yeah.
And in New Orleans that's true too.
Uh-huh.
And there's also a great spirit. There's the art part of it. And also a European flair. You know, it's American European city, and I sometimes feel that way about Gloucester.
I took a picture of Duckworth the other night, and there's tables outside because they were moving around, and then there was a bicycle out front, and it says Duckworth Bistro, and I was like, the title of the post is going to be Paris or Gloucester.
Yeah, nice.
You know what I mean? Because it was just the light was so pretty, and there was, I mean, it really, you know, it just does have that flavor to it. It's just a very old city, and the beautiful history and architecture that comes with that. So, absolutely.
Are there any new initiatives that you want to break the news about here, or anything coming up that you want to talk about?
Well, one of the things is we're going to have 4 block parties.
There you go. How are they? Why don't we talk about that?
Yeah, that's great.
How are they structured?
The mayor is really behind. It's going to be the third weekend. Third Saturday in June, July, and August, and then September, they're just finalizing what that date's going to be.
Okay.
But one.
So they're not going to have the two. So that's what they decided on. It's not going to be the two in July and 2 in August. They spread them out a little.
They spread them out. I like that.
I do too. Yeah. I was on the original block. One of the founders, me and Janice Lufkin Shea of the block parties, and our thing was we wanted to have it on the same. You know, so people would just have it in their head.
Head, right. That's
the third Saturday of each month through the summer and September. And it was, so, you know, just it's nice to continue that thing. They did a great, the people that are running it now, it's a lot of work. And
it's a tremendous amount of work.
And they have to, my thing is, we did it for a couple of years, and then everybody loved it. Loves it the first couple of years, and that's all you're doing is getting pats on the back. And then, then it seems like now you start saying, "Oh, well, this is how I would do it. And this is how I would do it." And you're like, "Oh, you know, I think it's time to pass this torch. It's time to pass this torch right now." And you know what? What I would say to people that benefit from it, treat the organizers with a lot of respect because they're donating their time and it's a lot of time.
And say, what can I do to help?
Yeah, instead of getting in the way or criticizing, what can I do to help? You know, so.
And we have
So yeah, it really is
it's a monumental effort on the part of the organizers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there you go. Anything else?
And Ashley Goulet is the new coordinator.
What's her name?
Goulet.
Really? I don't know if I know this girl.
She's, you know, she's new to it, but she's a great designer and great. In fact, one of the new block parties is going to be on the theme of the carnival.
Oh, cool.
Oh.
Yeah.
Very
so
cool.
Be really fun.
Well, that
with
sounds
masks
like fun.
And
oh, that sounds like fun.
My suggestion to her would be this.
Keep it simple.
I think keep it simple. And when we did the block parties, the idea was if we can get the restaurants to serve food and drink outside within their parameters, everything else is kind of gravy. You know what I mean? It was that and the art. Offer space to have any artist that wants to display their art downtown. It was that and that. And we did it. Our platform was simple, fun, and free. It had to be free. If who's going to incur an expense, we're like, forget about it.
Right.
You know, don't people donate that's their time, simple, fun, and free. Because we wanted it to be sustainable. Because if you create a monster, then you have to feed the beast. And we didn't.
No, that's great.
You know what I mean? Because you could get out of control, and then you're like beholden to raising this money every single time to pay for stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you can remove the obstacles for the restaurants have to do to be able to serve outside, because you know some, they have to go to all these meetings and stuff to get the liquor licenses. If you can consolidate, they have to do it instead of just one meeting. Like I would say, if they could, if there was a way that they could just say, okay, we know we're going to have these four block parties. They have the one meeting in the beginning to sign off on, and if they make, if they go past where they're supposed to go on the street, if there was any violations, you assign one manager per block party that's supposed to be there. The fire department goes down the street. If they're encroaching that the fire truck can't go by, they get penalized that they can't participate in the next block party. Very simple.
Right.
Yeah, anyway. So.
I'm sure you don't want to do it.
No, because I know.
These are good ideas.
Yes. Yeah. But you know what I mean?
Because
I, as a business person, I know, like, with a stroke of a, you can make these rules with a stroke of a pen that can put a lot of, a guy that don't, no business, no business owner has more to worry about than a restaurant owner.
Right.
Like there's so many moving parts, so much theft, you know, scheduling, this, that, and the other thing, egos and everything else that you have to take care of. To make them to go to four meetings for what you know what's already going to, you know, you already know what's going to happen is insane to me. But
especially all the restaurants around here, they're all established, they've all participated in it, they all do a fabulous job.
Yeah, I don't get why. Well, whatever. You know, it's all good though. It's all good. Block parties are
so how can we change that, Carol?
Mark McDonough is also, you know, involved again this year, so that's great.
Yeah, he's awesome.
And
I mean,
he's
working
with the restaurants. And
he's great. He's, you know, the guy doesn't need to be doing this, and he and he does it.
He
God
does
bless
it.
Him. So there you go, Carol. Thank you so much for coming in.
Oh, thank you.
I appreciate it. We had a lot of fun, and we got some good news there. A lot of positive stuff, and we are huge fans of community development. So thanks for all you do.
Oh, thank you.
All right, for Kim Smith, Carol Thistle. This is Joey Shimatar. Another GloucesterCast in the books.